Awesome, thank you. Oh, you know, we wait to be invited to come because we so love coming to be with you all. And just a quick testimony, since I was here last time, I've been back over to Ghana again with Maria Okrofi. And the reason I share this right at the beginning as a testimony is because God had us take keys from Liverpool to Ghana. And we did that for the first time in two years ago. And when we went this year in August, we took 800 keys with us. And we released those keys to everyone God told us to give them to. We saw 535 people coming to Jesus, which was amazing. Shall we give God a great big clap? You know, because God is in the business of giving you keys of authority that really give you freedom and breakthrough. And the amazing thing was that when we were in Ghana, we didn't know at all, but it was the 500th anniversary from the beginning of the very first vessel that left the Cape Coast and the Gold Coast with slaves, 500-year anniversary, and we happened to be there at that time. And we did this whole gathering in the cathedral of all the church leaders, and I want to show you this painting that one of the ladies from our team, thank you, our team painted from a video that we have produced. And this is these side pieces here represent the doors from the Door of No Return. And we've just been onto the beach through the Door of No Return, and there's been a whole time of church leaders standing together in humbling themselves in repentance because they were desperate to see breakthrough in Cape Coast and in Africa. And so these are all the leaders all coming back through that door to go back to their churches, to go back to Cape Coast with their hearts humbled and their minds transformed and changed by the desire that God has to really come in power in Africa in a new way. So your key, you know, that you received, whether you received a physical key yesterday or you received a prophetic key yesterday, is to bring change and transformation and freedom and life. And as you receive your key, you know, it might be a key to finances, it might be a key to health, it might be, you know, a key to all kinds of careers or lots of different things. Ask the Lord, because he doesn't give keys away lightly. Doesn't give keys away lightly. And so when God is giving keys away, it's because he's doing a new thing in your life. Thank you so much. That just represents all the blood of Jesus over the top of that. So I wanted to share that because you've been, you know, part of our journey into Africa from the very beginning when we first started going out to Uganda. And I love the prayers when we came in, prophesying over the city. How awesome is that? We prophesied in Uganda. I'm not going to prophesy this word here. You'll really be glad to know. We prophesied in Uganda in January that the glass ceiling was coming down and the walls of disunity were coming down. And 2 days later, the church collapsed. The whole building came down, the ceiling came down, roof came down, walls were all cracked. And so God is breaking glass ceilings actually over people. Those things which have confined you, those things that have boxed you in and stopped you from living your destiny. So as much as today is a difficult time with Brexit and everything that's going on, actually it's quite a time of opportunity, isn't it, with God as well. So we don't need to be afraid. I felt to say to you today, the word I'm bringing is called the Lord is placing a table before you. And it is a table of thanksgiving, of fruitfulness and multiplication. Now, when we were here last year, Jean brought a word about King Saul and David and Mephibosheth. And you see, because I'm Scouse, who knows that Scouse people, we always shorten people's names. Yeah. So we're going to call him Meffy. Okay. So we all know, Meff or Meffy. So we all know who we're talking about. Okay. King Saul messed up big style, didn't he? You know, he was meant to be one of the greatest kings, and he really messed up big style. So God was looking to replace him. And in his place, he found a little shepherd boy called David. And David was anointed as king. Now, you might not have status. You might be in a work situation. I believe this is a prophetic word for a few of you here today. You might be in a work situation and you might not be the boss. You know, you might not have the status. You might not have the salary of being the boss. But God wants to say, I've anointed you in that workplace. I am giving you favor in that workplace. And so as you honor those in authority over you in your workplace, even if you don't like them, even if they're doing a really bad job, as you honor them, God is going to promote you and God is going to honor you, because that's what God does, isn't it? When he either moves you to somewhere else where you will be recognized, but that God is pouring out in this season, I really believe this, a fresh anointing on his people. So here we are. David had been anointed to be the coming king, but Saul still had the crown. And we know that Saul absolutely hated David, hated him. You know, sometimes when you are living with the favor of God on your life and you're living with the anointing of God in your life, people will hate you. People will hate you, not because you've done anything wrong, not because you stood on their toes, not because you've done anything to hurt them, but simply because you're the anointed of God. You carry God's favor, and the spiritual stuff that is within them is reacting, you know, to the Holy Spirit's anointing and favor that is on your life. And God wants to say to you today, don't be upset. Do not let the things of the world rob you of the favor and anointing that you have. You just keep coming in the opposite spirit. Hallelujah. And so here we have David, and he chose to honor Saul, and Saul wanted to kill him. I mean, he really wanted to kill him, and David had opportunities to take him out, but actually chose not to. You know, he chose to honor him. And I think in the day that we're in right now, where we've got a government that you just think, what on earth are they doing? Does anyone else feel like that? I mean, really, you think, what are they doing? They're arguing amongst themselves. There's this power struggle going on. And who's really caring about the homeless guy who died outside of Parliament itself? You know, we've got a government that is really in disarray. And yet the Bible is very clear that, you know, if God has put Theresa May in position right now, whether we're Labour, Conservative, Monster Raven, Lunar Party, whichever politics you have, you know, we are called to pray for those in authority and to honour them, you know, and to pray, you know, for our government, and not to criticise them, not to be negative, because all we're doing is actually we're doing the enemy's job for him, aren't we, if we're agreeing, you know, with all that the media are saying at the moment. So we're going to look at 2 Samuel 4, if you find that. And we know that as David honoured Saul, Jonathan, who was Saul's son, honored David. He honored David, and he became his close friend and his armor bearer. So 2 Samuel 4 verse 4 says, Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And we know that although David had done all he could to protect Saul, Saul and Jonathan were slaughtered by somebody else in the army. And so it goes on to say, his nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, he fell and became disabled. His name was Mephibosheth, Mephi to his friends in Liverpool. So that means, his name actually means shame or greatly shamed or son of shame. And that's not a nice name, is it really? That's really not a nice name. But his original name that he was born with was Merib Baal, which meant that he was the contender of Baal. He was born. His destiny was to actually destroy idolatry. That was his destiny. And yet he became the son of shame just because of what had happened in his family. So suddenly and unexpectedly, here he was. He was only 5 years old. He'd lost his father. He'd lost his grandfather. We don't know what happened to his mother. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened to his mother. But his nurse panics because she had heard that Saul and Jonathan had been slaughtered, and she obviously thought they were going to come for Mephi next. And so she scooped him up, 5 years old, and began to run. And as she ran, he was dropped. Now, there was no NHS in those days. And so we don't know, because he never had a scan. You know, he didn't have an X-ray. We don't know what he'd done to injure himself. But Mephi was totally crippled and unable to walk. So this child had lost his family. He'd lost his inheritance. He'd lost his mobility. He'd lost absolutely everything you can possibly lose. He was traumatized. He was crushed. He was powerless. And he was probably full of bitterness and anger. Why has this happened to me? What have I done to deserve this? I was only 5 years old when this happened to me. I've never hurt anybody. I've never done any harm to anybody as a five-year-old child. What have I done to deserve this? Sometimes we can feel like that, can't we? When things happen to us that we think we don't deserve. It's like, why has this happened to me? Why am I always the one that bad things happen to? You know, has anybody else ever felt like that? Yeah. You know, I don't deserve this. You know, I'm working really hard. Other people are doing nothing and they're prospering. You know, why is this? Why is that? And we can get really in a cycle, can't we, of negativity. He built a wall around himself, protection. You know, that's what we do, isn't it, when we're hurt. We actually build barricades around our hearts and our minds and our lives, and we withdraw from the world. And that's what Mephi had done. He lost his destiny. He lost his dignity. He lost his self-esteem. He lost his inheritance. But 15 to 20 years later, David is on the throne. And 2 Samuel 9, we pick up the story, verse 1. David asked, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? For there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. The king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan, but he is lame in both feet. And so David said, where is he? And Ziba answered, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lo-debar. So King David had him brought from Lo-debar. And the first slide, please. So when you go with the flow of God and not the flow of the world, you release favor on your life, your children, and your grandchildren's lives. Jonathan had chosen to take care of David. He had watched his back. He was his armor bearer. He loved him like a brother. He served him at every opportunity. And Jonathan had released favor on his generational line. You, as you choose to serve God, as you choose to honor the people that God calls you to honor, whether they look like they deserve it or they don't, you are storing up, you know, a flow of the favor of God into your children, your children's children, and so on through your generational lines. Hallelujah. When son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. And David said, Mephi, because he was scouse as well. At your service, he replied. And David said, don't be afraid. You see, what normally would happen in that situation is that the family of whoever had been killed, the whole family would be totally eradicated and wiped out. And so Mephi would have been going there terrified. He'd been hiding, we know, between 15 and 20 years. He'd been hiding away, totally terrified. A bit like, do you remember the disciples when Jesus had died and they all hid away in this room, locked the doors because they were so terrified that somebody was going to come to them and try and kill them as well. And here was Mephi being hiding away all those years, not living in his destiny, not living in his potential at all. And so David said to him, don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. So often fear locks us away and deprives us of God's best for our lives. Satan does not want you to live in your destiny. And if he can fill you with fear and cripple you and paralyze you with fear, then he is a very happy devil. You know, and we need to choose to recognize that fear is a demonic principality. You know, it just sneaks into our hearts, doesn't it, and our lives at times. And it comes to every single one of us. If we're really honest, at some point in our lives, we all have that coming at us in some way, shape or form. And God is saying to us, no matter what the circumstances of our nations look like right now, do not fear. God is still on the throne. You know, God knew before we even joined Europe. He wasn't afraid when we went in. He's not going to be afraid when we're coming out. He's not scratching his head up in heaven, worrying and anxious about the Brexit situation. He's got it in control. You know, he really has. I remember on the night of the Brexit vote, and I have to say I voted to stay. Stephen voted to come out, so we totally cancelled each other's votes, actually. But I remember going down on the beach, you know, and talking to the Lord, and I saw this rainbow on the beach, and I just heard the Lord say, don't be worried. Whatever the outcome, I've got it all in hand, you know. And I actually think we still have a role to play in Europe. I believe we're apostolic and we're prophetic and we have a lot to bring into shaping the nations, you know, because of the gifting that God has given to us. And whether we're in, you know, the European Union or not, we're still going to do that, aren't we? Because that's who God's made us to be. Hallelujah. So fear locks us away. It deprives us of God's best in our lives. The most repeated command Jesus gave was do not be afraid. 366 times, enough even for a leap year. You know, every day for a whole year. So Mephi bowed down. What is your servant that you would notice a dead dog like me? My goodness, has he got self-esteem issues? Call himself a dead dog. I mean, sometimes we can see ourselves like that, can't we? Sometimes we can see each other like that. And, you know, we need to recognize God did not create dead dogs. You know, he created us to be his sons and his daughters, to be beautiful, you know, to be full of authority, to be the ones who rule and reign with him, you know, from heavenly places. And so I just want you to give the person next to you a little shake and say, you certainly don't look like a dead dog to me. You see, when we believe a lie about ourselves, it greatly hinders us from reaching our destiny and keeps us hidden. The call of the king brought a wounded and rejected man to a place of restoration. You know, God is in the restoration business. That's what he's so good at. So verse 9, the king summoned Ziba and Saul's steward and said to him, I've given your master grandson everything belonging to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephi, your grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Hallelujah. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands him to do. So Mephi ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Now, when David sent for Mephi, he would have been expecting to be killed, and yet he found himself completely restored. Everything that had been broken was now covered because he was sitting at the table, feasting with the king. Now, God, through his great love for us, for me and for you, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:4, he's rich in mercy. God's unconditional love for us releases his grace. Grace is favor, and grace is amazing. Grace is getting the good things that we don't deserve. Grace, we cannot earn it and we cannot repay it. It is a free gift from God. This is a season where God is going to be pouring out his grace to enable his people to stand in the midst of difficult circumstances and to see mindsets begin to shift until people step into their destinies. Hallelujah. So Mephi had to let go of his past. He couldn't stay in Lodibar. He had to choose to step into the position that the king was making available for him. Imagine him, David saying to him, come and sit at this table. I've got all the wealth for you. I've got this land for you. And he would have said, no, I'm just a dead dog. I just want to stay where I am. And yet sometimes we can choose to live like that, can't we? We choose to live, you know, in what the enemy says about us instead of taking the position that God has created us for. He had to let go of the past in order to stop history from hindering his future destiny. We need to make a choice to come to the table of the king. Jesus wants to restore our relationship with the Father and with each other. Revelation 3:19 from the Passion. I preached on this at the Big Push a couple of months ago, and it's really in the process of changing my life on a big scale, this word, I can tell you. It says this, all those I dearly love, I unmask and train. So repent and be eager to pursue what is right. Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door, within. I will come into you and feast with you, and you will feast with me. To the one who conquers, I will give the privilege of sitting with me on my throne, just as I conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. I wonder if we can move this table to the front a bit more where everyone can see. Is that cool? Thank you. Now, I think Pastor Fola looks a bit like a king, don't you? Do you think he looks quite kingly tonight? So you can come. Oh, yeah. Good. We got the message. So if you would like to sit here, that would be great. So Pastor Fola is going to be King David. So put his crown on. Okay. Just get this out of the way. Thank you. And I wonder, who should we have? Who should we have? Who should we have? Who'd like to come and volunteer? Who wants? Come on. Great. Fantastic. Okay. You're going to sit there. Okay. And what we want you to do is you're going to wear this mask. Should I show you what's on it first? Is that okay? Are you impressed with that? Did you think you were going to be that person tonight?
No.
No. Okay. Jean, can you come and fasten? Just look to me and then just look at me. Look around at me. Cool. There you go. Do you want to show everybody your face now? He looks fantastic. So what happens is, you see, we live our Christian lives. We're invited to come to the table to sit with the king. Do you want to open your feast? To feast at the table with the king. But very often what we do as Christians is we live a life with our masks on. You know, do you come to church and someone goes, how are you? And you go, I'm fine. And your life's fallen apart. Your life has absolutely fallen apart. And we go, I'm fine. And it's not about us washing all our dirty linen in public, but it's about God is saying to us in this season that we need to be real. You know, we need to be real. We need to be real with God. We need to actually peel the masks off. Because what happens, we were on holiday in June, and there was we were having a beautiful meal in a restaurant, and there was a precious woman who totally broke my heart, and she had the full burqa on, and she was trying to eat her food at the table, beautiful meal, and she had this full burqa on, and she was bent over like this, trying to hold the flap of the burqa up like this and eat. And it was just terrible. And you see, when we have a mask on, would you like to tuck into this? Maybe the king here would let you have one of his cakes. So without moving your mask, do you think you'd be able to eat that without... You see, how can we feast at the king's table? How can we feed truly on the things of God when we've got our mask in place? Sometimes we don't even realize we're wearing it. Sometimes we just think, well, you know, I'm just so ashamed. You know, this happened in my life, and if people really knew the real me, you know, they wouldn't really love me. If I went near God and you know, he really knew what I was like, he wouldn't really love me. You know, that's just words. That's not truth, you know. And things might have happened to us that are not our fault, or they may be our fault, but we can be so ashamed that we're not willing to take the mask off ourselves anymore. And, you know, God is saying to us in this season, you know, it is time to take the masks off. And it's scary. It's scary because actually when we don't trust people, you know, we keep the masks on tight, don't we? And I've found that since I've said to God, you know, when God says, I want you to take the mask off, and you go, yeah, okay. And then all kinds of things start to happen. All this stuff starts to come up that had been buried alive inside of me. And so I'm currently going through a real time of healing with God over my relationship with my mum that I didn't even realise was such a massive issue. I think I knew superficially, but really didn't understand the depth of it. And because, you see, God wants more of my heart. He wants more of your heart. He wants to overshadow us in a way that we've never experienced in the past. So would you like to, do you think it's safe in here to take your mask off, Your Majesty? You can have a cake now. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, King David. And you see, what happens is, Revelation says this, all those I dearly love, I unmask. Whew. You see, God doesn't want to unmask you to make you vulnerable. God wants to unmask us because he loves us. And he wants to do something new and something dynamic in us in this season that he cannot do if we've still got our plastic, fantastic masks in place and intact. Thanksgiving, fruitfulness, and multiplication only come when we're willing to remove our masks. John 10 says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and life just a little bit. Life in abundance. It doesn't say life in abundance just for Jean Dodd. You know, it says life in abundance for every single one of us. But we need to choose to position ourselves to sit and feast every day with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. The interesting thing for Mephi was that he had so much restored to him. He let go of the past. He'd forgiven those who deserted him, who dropped him, who'd injured him. He'd chosen to take his position at the king's table. He had received his identity as a royal prince. His family was restored. You know, your position impacts your family. If you allow the enemy to rob you of your destiny, you know what? It will impact your children, your grandchildren, and the generations to come. It is important. We have a responsibility, as we said earlier on, to take hold of those spiritual keys that God has given and take hold of your destiny, to choose to sit at the table with the King of Kings. Mephi's inheritance was restored. His peace was restored. He probably felt the safest he's felt in years and years. The pain of his being an orphan was replaced with peace and joy of being a son. However, Mephi still couldn't walk. You know, sometimes we think we come to God and everything is fixed. And sometimes things are not fixed. And we don't understand why that is. And then we get disheartened and then we get discouraged. And we go back to, oh, why has this happened to me? Why has this happened again? This is not fair. Mephi still could not walk. His emotions had been healed. His heart had been healed. His mindset had changed. The depression may have gone, but he still could not walk. Despite that, he chose to make the most of life and to take his position to live and feast at the king's table. Sometimes God's grace is not about us being healed. Sometimes God's grace is not about us getting the breakthrough. And I'm all for breakthroughs. And I love seeing God healing people. You know, I believe with all my heart that we have a miracle working God. Sometimes God's grace enables us to live with circumstances we would not choose for ourselves. I remember when Stephen started working offshore and I was like a bereaved woman. I was absolutely dreadful. When I suddenly realised, it suddenly dawned on me that Steve was not going to be home for Christmas, I just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And everyone in church that we were at the time were like, oh, bye, have a lovely, happy Christmas. And I just cried. And I went home on my own with my kids and I cried and cried and cried. And in the end, I said to God, you're just going to have to give me more grace because I just haven't got enough right now. You know, and sometimes we need to go back to God when we're struggling with the circumstances to say, God, I need some more grace. You know, because God's grace enables us and empowers us to live in the midst of the circumstances until they change or we change, don't they? Luke 1:27, and I love this. This is from The Passion. If you haven't got one, ask Father Christmas. No. If you haven't got one of these, Passion New Testament, oh my goodness, it's fantastic. We absolutely love it in our team. Don't ask Father Christmas, actually. Ask anybody to get you one of those. Ask the Lord to provide one for you. It's fabulous. So Luke 1:27, during the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you. And so you are anointed with great favor. You know, the first thing he says is grace to you. You know, he knew that Mary was going to have to live with some really, really difficult circumstances. Really impossible situation that she had to face as a woman. So the first thing he did was release grace to her in that situation. She is anointed with great favor. And I really believe this is a season where God is releasing a greater level of grace to those who ask for it and a greater level of favor. So it goes on, verse 29. Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel. Imagine an angel suddenly appearing in front. You would be greatly troubled, wouldn't you? I mean, my goodness. I mean, I believe I've never seen an angel, but I know people who have. And they say they're about 25 feet tall. I mean, they're not like little puny things. You know, they're absolutely huge. And this angel appeared. You would be really afraid, wouldn't you? So she was deeply troubled. And he says to her, the angel reassured her saying, do not yield to your fear, Mary. You know, fear may come at you, but you have a choice whether you yield to it or not. You know, we need to recognize when it comes that that's not coming from God. And so we need to come in the opposite spirit and shut that down. For the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever and his reign will have no limit. Mary said, but how can this be? I am still a virgin. And Gabriel answered, I really want you to hear this. the Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. I believe this is a profound, now prophetic word to the church. For those of you who want to receive it, I really believe in the midst of the shaking, in the midst of all the turmoil that is going on in our nations right now, God is looking for those he can overshadow. I really believe this with all my heart. I believe that God is saying, I want to spread my shadow of power over you so that your life will bring me glory in this season. Just hold your hands up right now, and I'm going to pray. Father, we just pray right now, Lord God, that we believe that you are looking for people that you can overshadow in this season to release fresh level of grace, of favor, of anointing, and of power. And we choose this night to say, choose me. Choose me. Lord God, we say, we position ourselves to receive all that you are wanting to pour out in this season to empower us for all that you have destined us for, to be nation changers and city changers and business leaders and all that you created us to be. So, Father, we receive that right now. Just say, we receive that right now in Jesus' name. And it goes on to say, you can put your hands down. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Now, again, listen to this. This is for quite a number of you here. It says in verse 37, not one promise from God is empty of power. For nothing is impossible with God. And God wants you to go back to him over promises that he has given to you, and for you to say, Lord, I'm reminding you of those promises. Not that God forgets, but we need to remind ourselves that God has promised us. God has promised me revival. And so I'm like, okay, come on. You know, I'm reminding you, Lord, where is it? What do I need to do to position myself to be a part of this coming revival? You know, I'm not just going to lie back and just wait, you know, dreaming and you know, just waiting for it to come through somebody else. I'm going to say, God, this is the promise that you've given to me. What do I need to do to position myself so that you can pour this out? Amen. So for some of you tonight, you've got promises that haven't been fulfilled. Just raise your hand if that's you. I'm not going to ask you what they are. Okay, Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for everyone with their hands raised tonight. And Lord, we choose to remind you this night of every promise that you have given to your people in this place tonight. And Father, we thank you that this is a time of promises being fulfilled. Lord, some of us have been waiting on these promises for years and years and years, Lord God. And Lord, we just want to remind you of that tonight. And again, we say, Father, whatever we need to do to play our part, to position ourselves for the fulfillment of that promise, Lord God, speak to us, show us what we need to do, give us the boldness and the courage to be obedient in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mary responded, verse 38, saying, this is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord as his servant. I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you told me come to pass. And the angel left her. Mary conceived because God himself spread his shadow of power over her. You know, some of you, God is going to cause you to conceive new business ideas. You know, you're going to conceive of things that you wouldn't have even dreamt of. God has done things with me and our team that when we started out, you know, 16 years ago, we would never have dreamt or imagined. But God is going to overshadow people here today, and he's going to cause you to conceive new things, you know, for this new season, new business ideas. How did the gospel choir go, by the way? I couldn't make it. Was it great? Oh, I was so excited to be here, and then I was really sick. You see, that's a new idea, a new thing that God's doing. I really believe that's going to be so powerful. But there's going to be some incredible new things that you're going to conceive. You know, not just babies. There's going to be babies conceived. I really believe that. But there's going to be lots of business ideas. I really feel that's something that is going to be excellent from this church. So Mary watched as her precious tiny son was visited by the Levitical shepherds, the wise men with incredibly valuable gifts falling on their faces before her little baby son. She watched him later on being arrested, being beaten and crucified, and the whole world turning black as he died, her precious son. Mary watched as the earth shook and bodies were raised from the dead. That she watched as the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom, as her Savior son breathed his last. You know, Mary could do nothing to control that situation. She had to depend on the grace of God to enable her to keep standing and to keep living the life that God had destined her to live. Sometimes things happen in our families that we don't want to happen. You know, but God wants to give us the grace that we need to walk that journey through, you know, until we see the shift come. Mary's life was not easy, and yet she was enabled, empowered, and given the grace to live the life that God himself had spread his shadow of power over her to enable her to live. You know, sometimes we go under in our circumstances because we've not allowed God to overshadow us. Is that just me? You know, sometimes we miss those opportunities when God wants to come and give us that fresh fire to enable us. You know, whether we get a deal or a no deal, we are in days of political correctness like never before. You know, there've been videos, ITV News and different things like that. I don't know whether you've seen them. And they were visiting a church, and they were actually going to talk about sexual stuff, which I'm not going to go into tonight. But the footage of the ITV News was about the church leader, and the video footage showed him speaking in tongues and praying over people and using the name of Jesus. And you know, this is the day when we as Christians need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we need to be speaking in tongues more than we ever have done before, because if that's where the enemy is challenging, you know, that's where we need to say we are not giving in to this, because speaking in tongues is one of our spiritual empowerment gifts, and we need that. Imagine if we don't use the name of Jesus, what else have we got? You know, so we need to be reminding ourselves all the time, you know, it's in the name of Jesus that we see breakthroughs come. Don't be afraid in this situation that we are moving into. And those who know me well, you know I'm never someone who comes and scaremongers at all. I think it's an exciting time where we need to really rise up, because we're going to be seen to be very different from the rest of the world. People are going to be coming and running to us in this new season that we're in, because they're going to see that we are the ones who are full of hope and full of life and full of peace when all around us everything is shaking. You know, we have a confidence because we know that God is not asleep. He's not forgotten us. He's not overlooked us. And his grace is definitely sufficient. We need the Lord to overshadow us in this season, to enable us, to empower us to be fruitful and to bring forth a multiplication of abundant life. This year, I can tell you, I did not want to go to Ghana. I did not want to go at all. and yet we went in obedience to God, and we saw such an outpouring of God and such breakthroughs come. And you know, God is saying this is a season where you might not feel like doing things, you know, you might not feel like coming out, you know, on a winter night at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. You might not feel like gathering together. You know, you might not feel like all the things that God is calling you to do in this season, sacrificing and giving everything that you've been given. But I want to tell you, when you're obedient to what God calls you to do, there's such an outpouring of his favor upon you. You know, it's really exciting. God is the answer for the situation that is going on in our nations right now. God wants to restore our lives as we finish. He wants to pour out his favor and his grace upon you. He wants to fill us afresh with his unconditional love so that we can be fearless in the face of adversity. He wants to fill us with his peace so that we can bring peace to others. You can't bring to anybody else what you haven't got yourself. You know, it's impossible. He wants to break poverty so that we can release provision. You know, we were talking to someone today who's involved with CAP over in the Wirral, and she was saying they had 6,000 people looking for help. 6,000 people looking for help just in Wirral. And they could only deal with 2,000, which is a lot anyway. That's the kind of time frame that we're living in. People are in crisis, and we have got to be calling upon God, because God made us to be the answer. God wants to empower us to step into the new life with the inheritance that cannot be stolen. He wants to help us to change mindsets. No dead dog mindset in Love Assembly. Amen. He wants to restore the way we see ourselves as cripples. You know, you might have legs that don't work properly, but that does not make you a crippled person. You know, we have to choose to step into God's grace, that whatever is your weakness or your vulnerability, God can use you anyway. While we've still got breath in our bodies, God has not finished with us. Amen. So, Father, we just want to pray right now. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence here right now. We ask you, we invite you to come, Holy Spirit, to come and overshadow us again. Come and overshadow your sons and your daughters. Come and pour your Holy Spirit out upon us afresh tonight. Come, Lord God, where we've been struggling with our circumstances and our situations, we ask you to really pour out grace, Lord God, to change mindsets that we've had that have kept us locked in to deprivation and poverty and abuse or whatever else it has been that has been holding us back. We come before you tonight, Holy Spirit, and we bring this region to you, and we say, Lord God, let us be empowered to be part of the answer in this season. We want to be a people who bring glory to your name. We love you, Jesus, and we want to give you all the glory for all that you're doing in this season, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.